Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge one person here in the audience first, that is the board president for Wisconsin Clean Cities, Gary Evans. So Gary, thank you for being here today, and appreciate that. And first of all, I want to just kind of ask the folks who are here then, how many of you have anything to do with the fleet? Okay, right. Now, this is what happened last year too, and my guess is that because of how Hybrid Fest is set up, it appeals especially to commuters. So how many of you then already drive a hybrid or an alternative fuel vehicle or have driven an AFE in the past? Okay, great. So you already understand then, of course, the why hybrids play such an essential role then in improving air quality. And why we are doing a talk here today on fleets is because fleet is just simply what companies or government entities do, what they have under their umbrella, namely a number of vehicles in one vehicle pool. And that's all a fleet really is. And the great thing about fleets is that by using fleets then to implement as far as going greener and cleaner through the use of hybrids and alternative fuel vehicles, you can better leverage then your resources then to get us farther along in the war against oil addiction and farther along so that we can all breathe cleaner air, both this generation and beyond. So that's why we thought it was important to do this talk today and why I'm glad to be here this morning. So I'll just start out by just telling you something real quickly. I heard this morning on NPR, did anybody hear Car Talk this morning? Okay. All right. This is just to show a little bit about criminals can't be too dumb. And this is a guy who walks into a dealership with an Uzi-like gun, walks up to a car dealer and says, "Give me the keys to a car." And dealer hands him the keys to a 87 LeBaron. So it was essentially your Baron or your life. And the guy took off then, drove for a while, and then he phoned in complaining to the dealership that the car had overheated, talking to the dealer who had handed him the keys. So the dealer said, "Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that, sir. Why don't you bring it back in? We'll work with you." So the guy drove it back in and, of course, was arrested. So I bring that up both because I thought it was pretty funny, you know, driving here this morning from Milwaukee, but also, too, because I think that you'll all agree that the path that we're going on is pretty dumb, too, that unless we can all help to raise each other's consciousness to drive cleaner, greener vehicles, that the path that we are going on is a pretty dumb one to be going. So wanted to start out with that. And first I want to show this slide to show you that going green in fleets, it's really a global phenomenon. In this particular picture, General Motors China execs have collaborated with a state-run corporation on a joint hybrid bus project, and that's from last year. And at a national level then, too, this past March, this is when President Bush then, for his National Energy Initiative, announced 20 and 10, then what he would deem then as for a goal, then a 20% reduction in gas consumption by 2017. And in this case, then, a Daimler Chrysler executive then is showing a FedEx pilot program plug-in hybrid Sprinter then to Bush and to the current Secretary of Energy, Bodman, then. At a state level, our own Governor Doyle then proposed last year in this that Wisconsin generate a quarter of its power and transportation fuel from renewables by 25. And fleets, of course, will play an integral role then in bringing this to fruition. There are many different fleet types, and most of these you're familiar with, certainly. Airport vehicles, chief among them, taxis, shuttles, transit, refuse haulers, just a fancy name, of course, for garbage trucks, delivery vehicles, traffic enforcement, police vehicles and long-haul trucks. So I will go over a few examples for that. But first of all, if you're a fleet manager, you want to know how to go about getting your fleet cleaner and greener. And a good way to start out is to go to, right up there in the upper left-hand corner is the U.S. Department of Energy, and on the right there, Clean Cities. And just to give you a little bit of background, as Dr. Steve said, Wisconsin Clean Cities was formed in 1994. The National Clean Cities Program formed in 93, so we're actually one of the early programs. And our name, Wisconsin Clean Cities Southeast Area, we're going to change soon to Wisconsin Clean Cities because we truly represent the entire state. And what we are is one of 90 coalitions nationwide, 90 coalitions that are in different areas, especially those with challenging air problems, so-called non-attainment areas for, say, ozone in particular, but also could be for particulate matter, also known as PM. But in our case, we formed in southeastern Wisconsin because that is a, and still is, at least for the time being, a severe ozone non-attainment region. And the U.S. Department of Energy in 1994 then deemed our program then in Wisconsin, which became a nonprofit organization, an official Clean Cities program. We were one of the early ones, and it's really, the program has grown like Topsy then over the years, so that we now have about 90 coalitions then nationwide. So if you know, does anybody, okay, even though you don't represent a fleet, how many of you say work with a company where you are familiar with the person who oversees the fleet? Okay, well, I'm not gonna do 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or anything, but I'm sure that there's somebody in your life who would be a fleet manager or would have some control over that. But what somebody then who would be a fleet manager, for a great entry point, then they would just go to this Clean Fleet Guide, which is a terrific web tool then for them. And I call it the Swiss Army knife of available tools. And it really is an unbiased one-stop shop for fleets sponsored by Clean Cities, along with the Department of Energy's Freedom Car and Vehicle Technologies program. And their motto, greening your fleet can mean green in your pocket. Of course, you know that as hybrid drivers yourselves. So in this toolkit, I'm not going to belabor it then because we don't have mostly fleet managers in the audience, but there are many different ways then that fleet managers can go about then determining how they can go about greening their fleet. One of them is something actually that you as consumers can use, and so you might want to visit that site too, because it's not just for fleets. You can actually get a lot of information there for consumers as well. And that's a hybrid electric vehicle cost calculator. There's both a fleet tool and then a single vehicle tool. And it's a pretty nice working tool. I've tried it before.
Francis, could you go back a slide to the website where we can find that? This is it at the bottom here?
Yes, sir. And right down there, it's simply www.eere, and that just stands for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. .gov/fleet guide. And if anybody would, I purposely didn't make copies of this so as to minimize the carbon footprint for this particular talk, but if anybody would like a copy of it, I would be glad to get one to you afterward, just to see me right after the talk. But that is this, in fact, if you really want to make it simple, all you need to do is Google Clean Cities, and that will be, if not the top, it'll be the right at the top then of items that will come to for you then. So if all you want to remember from this talk is Clean Cities, that'll get you to a lot of valuable information, whether you're active with fleets or not. And as I mentioned, this hybrid electric vehicle cost calculator is a valuable tool. And I think too, one of the really nice things is that, as you know, different automakers have their own slant, and that's great. I mean, that's what a democracy is, by having Daimler Chrysler and Ford and General Motors, Toyota, Honda, now Nissan, and others developing hybrids and alternative fuel vehicles. They all have their own take on the subject. But the great thing about Clean Cities is that it's a dispassionate, unbiased site, and that's what Clean Cities coalitions are too. So that even though our board directors may wear the hat of representing, say, an original equipment manufacturer, also known as an OEM, such as an automaker or something, they also wear the unbiased hat then too of the Clean Cities. And Gary certainly has worn that double hat now, that dual hat for several years. So it's a wonderful thing. Now, I showed this because for fleets then, there are many different incentives. Some of those do apply them too to consumers, as you know. Tax credits, certainly. The other programs, Clean Cities program funding, something called CMAC, Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Program grants, and then emissions reduction funding opportunities, part of the alphabet soup of government grants then that would be available then to fleets, so I won't belabor those. Some of you may be familiar with this then, the Alternative Motor Vehicle Credit for passenger autos and light trucks, and the credit phase out, which this, if you see this slide down here, the photo, anybody know where that may have been taken? Gary, you weren't even here last year and you knew. And that was not a setup. This date here is kind of a giveaway. Plus, if you look, that I just thought that was just such a great photo of a hybrid right there. But the sad thing is, and especially as somebody who just bought a Prius a few months ago, is that Toyota tax credit is going, and then gone after October 1st, unless Congress, in its infinite wisdom, does see fit to restore the credit in full for Toyota and Lexus, which I certainly hope it does. No phase out yet for Honda. They would be in second place then as far as selling vehicles, a distant second, albeit. And then GM, Ford, and Nissan, no worries there. And they have not sold that many. And in fact, as many of you know, the Prius is the best selling. But there are other hybrids. There are many great hybrids out there, and I'm certainly not here to push one over the other. And the thing with the credit is, as many of you know, it does start to decrease then 6 to 9 months after at least 60,000 of the manufacturer's qualifying vehicles have been sold. That's only affected Toyota thus far. Honda Civic GX, because this talk is I've alluded to, does not just apply to hybrids, it also applies to alternative fuel vehicles. It's a wonderful vehicle. It's the only certified alternative fuel vehicle. Runs just on compressed natural gas. It's eligible for a full $4,000 credit, and which represents then a percentage of the incremental cost of the alternative fuel technology. You hear that term thrown around a lot, the incremental cost. As hybrid owners, you know that the incremental cost is just simply what that cost would be then between buying, say, a regular Civic or, say, a Civic hybrid, what the incremental cost would be for that hybrid battery and the associated technology to develop that. Now, other qualifying technologies under this alternative fuel vehicle credit would be liquefied natural gas, liquefied propane gas, hydrogen, and M85, which is not like a big firecracker, but it's at least 85% methanol. But the GX, though, is only sold, it's only really promoted in a few states, but how many of you know anything about the GX? Gary used to work for We Energies. This is and used to own one. Okay, that's right. I didn't know that. Okay, all right. So it's a great vehicle. In fact, when I sought to buy a vehicle for myself because I really wanted to drive the talk, being in this position with Clean Cities, for me it came down to one of two vehicles, either a Prius or the GX. The only reason I didn't get the GX, which is a terrific green vehicle, is that I wanted more trunk space, and I have a family with two, soon to be three children, and that's what made the difference for me. But otherwise, it's a great car. hybrid heavy trucks credit too, and that's based on poundage. And if you're buying a new qualifying vehicle between January 106 and the end of 09, you can claim a credit. Amount depends on the weight class of the vehicle, its fuel economy relative to a traditional vehicle, and then of course that incremental cost. And this is more than on the alternative fuel infrastructure tax credit. Some of this, if you're not if it doesn't pertain to you, it just sounds more like inside baseball. But one thing that is important for you to know, if you are interested at all in buying a Honda Civic GX, which you can buy here in Wisconsin from some dealers, it's just not really promoted, is you can get an additional tax credit. This is the third point down. Let me use the pointer here. Right here, where you can get a tax credit of up to $1,000 then by getting purchasing some residential refueling equipment. You know, Gary, when you had your Civic GX, this was before the fuel maker came out, correct?
Correct.
But this is a really neat thing because you can get what essentially looks like a little phone booth at home to put in your garage, and you can have your own natural gas home refueling appliance where you can refuel overnight, and it's very inexpensive, and you can really avoid ever having to go to a fueling station again. So it's a terrific way to stay clean and green, and then also, unless you're really jonesing for a 64-ounce soda, to avoid going to your neighborhood gas station then. Yes, sir?
Could you tell us how many refueling stations there are in Wisconsin, particularly Madison and Milwaukee?
You mean for
natural gas.
Okay. There are a limited number right now, and some of them are privately owned. There's one in particular in downtown Milwaukee at 4th and Cherry, that Transit Express, that is open, and it's a card reader, but it's not promoted as such. And that right now is a problem, is that, well, for me, for example, the other reason besides the trunk space why I opted not to buy a GX is because the fueling infrastructure is not where it should be. Part of that is, go ahead, Gary. Yes.
And it gives you a wide range from E85 to express natural gas. There's one natural gas fueling station in Madison, and that's at MG&E. Again, as it kind of gets back to the discussion.
Right, we stopped there one time.
Pardon?
We stopped there one time.
The difference between consumer vehicles versus fleet vehicles, compressed natural gas was really designed more as targeted for fleet vehicles, and that's why you probably don't see the natural gas fueling infrastructure as readily available, say like an E85 or something like that.
One other quick question, I know we have Dominator slow you down, but what's roughly the range after refueling?
Is it a few hundred miles, Gary?
For the GX,
yes.
You're probably looking at anywhere from about 200 to 250.
And of course that has improved over the years. The range, well, and depending on too on the vehicle.
The three natural gas vehicles I owned, I never run out of fuel.
That's a testimony right there.
Did you make a cross country trip?
I didn't use it for cross country.
Yeah.
Well, although we did, we actually had one van that ran solely on natural gas, and we took down to the Clean Cities Conference in Louisville. It's a motivator.
Right, and if it truly is, right now its best purpose would be a commuter vehicle. Mm-hmm. And if you simply had a commute where you couldn't take mass transit, you couldn't bike, and yet you needed to drive a car every day, and that was its sole purpose, it would be the perfect application. But if you wanted to drive cross country, and you didn't have a true sense of adventure about what you were doing, I mean, because the infrastructure is not there yet, And it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing as far as when will it be there and how can consumer demand be created if there are not enough original equipment manufacturers who are in the market to offer options to people. I mean, look, for example, at you mentioned E85 vehicles, those that run on a combination of 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline. That market is burgeoning right now. It's huge. But yet there are still many, many E85 or flex fuel vehicle owners on the road today who don't know that they drive a flex fuel vehicle. There are even some auto dealers who sell vehicles that may not be certain that all of the 85 compatible vehicles that they sell are such. I mean, there's a huge educational curve that is being solved to some extent for flex fuel vehicles that run an E85, but not so much yet as far in terms of compressed natural gas. And it's a real shame because consumers need options, and CNG or compressed natural gas is, yes, it started out as a fleet application, but I would argue and vociferously that if, as a commuter application, that it really has, it could stand the test of time, and it's been rated by independent groups as right up there with the Honda Insight, which lamentably is not being manufactured anymore, and the Toyota Prius is being the greenest vehicle on the road. Okay, some more sources then too for tax credit information would be the Internal Revenue Service then, IRS.gov newsroom, and then also the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy, also known as ACEEE. And the nice thing about the IRS is that, of course, it's the final arbiter on these things, and I checked yesterday and it did update which vehicles have qualified for the hybrid electric vehicle or the other alternative fuel vehicle tax credit, and that was just updated 2 weeks ago. So if you come to the, here's a little sales pitch too, if you come to the exhibit table for Wisconsin Clean Cities, I will have that information out too for those of you who are looking to kind of compare which other vehicles other than, say, your own do qualify for that tax credit and at what level. Because as I mentioned earlier, the Toyota and Lexus ones are decreasing now, and by October 1 will be gone. This speaks to that kind of one of the alphabet soup programs, congestion mitigation, air quality improvement program, but it also speaks to one of the fleet types too. Does anybody recognize that parking shuttle? Besides you, Gary, has anybody driven out of Mitchell before? Airport? That's one of the long-term shuttles there, and if you look real closely there, I think somewhere around there is the Wisconsin Clean Cities logo then too. But Wisconsin Clean Cities, and Gary was a big part of that. This is actually before I came on board, helped General Mitchell International Airport to get the funding then so that it could make its parking shuttles and then to some of its smaller vehicles too run on compressed natural gas so that it would have that advantage then in cleaning up the air quality then around the airport, which is a big consideration. And that's particularly important too because as you may or may not know, planes themselves create a lot of pollution. So if the airport itself can help to decrease its emissions, then that's so much the better. And these particular federal funds then that are through the Federal Department of Transportation then help airports then to be able to afford to do that. This is just some more details about that. The next cycle kicks off next year. If anybody is interested in that for any reason, contact info is down there. Some emissions reduction funding opportunities. There's one out on the street right now through Midwest Clean Diesel Initiative, as well as there's a lot of information available on this Smartway Transport Partnership, which is a voluntary partnership then, and that's the way that a lot of governmental entities have gone right now, in particular under the current administration, to instead of having government regulation, they're trying to emphasize voluntary means if at all possible. There are idling reduction and retrofit grants available too. If you know any truck, does anybody know any trucking companies at all? Okay. Well then, this is very timely, and unfortunately, this diesel truck idling reduction grant, this is pretty wild. This just came out July 1st. Applications stopped being taken July 13th because the money was then exhausted. It is such a popular program. This is only the second year. There is still some money available specifically for retrofitting, and that retrofitting just means putting a small device on a diesel truck then to make it run cleaner and decrease its emissions. There is some money available to retrofit heavy duty trucks, and applications are due in a couple weeks. So the contact info is down here, and if you are interested, then sir, I can get you that info, or you can write that down, whatever.
I'll forward it to my brother at Schneider.
Schneider applied. Yeah, Dennis Damon has worked with us before. Have you heard that name?
No, I'm sure my brother knows.
Yeah, Dennis Damon is a great guy. Gary and I know him through Clean Cities. He's spoken at two of our idle reduction workshops, in fact.
So how do these devices affect the number of grants?
They're both. I mean, there are devices that do both. I mean, there are particulate traps, for example. And then there are other, I mean, there are a whole variety of devices. And, you know, Gary, do you want to speak at all to any of the devices, too, that you may be familiar with? Or?
Mainly like catalysts and particulate traps.
Yeah. DOCs, diesel oxidation catalysts.
Inexpensive, as you said, retrofit to reduce the PM from trucks. I guess the other footnote was the new mandate for
right, and of course now too with the new ultra low sulfur diesel being that's the new mandate, that alone has really brought down number of emissions and for trucks. And in fact, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency said that the introduction of ultra low sulfur diesel was the greatest development in reducing emissions since the introduction of unleaded gasoline, however many years ago. So I. Happy to say that you said that's your brother or brother-in-law's, where your brother works. They are one of the leaders. Actually, they're an active member of this Smartway Transport Partnership. They've won some awards, and one of the ways they do it, it's kind of a carrot and stick approach, is that they say it needs to be done. They say that to their truckers, but they also then share some money then too. Share some of the savings, because of course they're not just doing it to reduce emissions, they're also doing it to amp up their fuel economy and bring down their overall trucking costs. It also reduces their maintenance costs too and repair costs over time. So that's it helps them, it helps the company, and then they want to pass on some of that savings, say whatever, a penny or two per mile then, to the drivers. Hybrids and transit buses is a particular case study here. I see, though, we're running a little short on time, so I'm going to try to push ahead here. In San Francisco last year, for example, 56 hybrid diesel-electric Orion 7 buses from Daimler Chrysler were introduced. These are some more fleet examples here, too. This is a hydraulic hybrid diesel delivery truck through UPS, and fuel economy can actually improve by up to 60% then with 40% drop then in carbon dioxide emissions, which is some great numbers. Plug-in hybrids, you're going to hear a lot about at this convention, at this particular conference, so I won't belabor this. Wisconsin Clean Cities is an active member of Plug-in Partners, which is yet another voluntary campaign that is working to promote plug-in hybrids. And in fact, you are hearing more from Daimler, Chrysler, GM, and Ford. One of the most, you know, I guess pun intended, electrifying developments in this area then is the Chevy Volt. And how many of you, just to see how aware you might be of this, how many of you have already heard of the Chevy Volt? Okay, right. And that is going to be a real game changer then too, when that gets introduced then, which could be as soon as 2010. Of course, the race against time with that is that it all depends on the battery development. If General Motors can, it's working with some different battery developers than companies to develop a cost-effective, workable lithium-ion battery, and that's the race against time right now. So there have been even some tests right now through National Renewable Energy Laboratory, which is associated with the Clean Cities program, and they did results in 06 from a simulation conducted in St. Louis where a plug-in hybrid passenger vehicle fleet could nearly double fuel economy compared to a conventional fleet, and that's cost savings of over $500 per vehicle. And of course, the great thing about, I guess one of the interesting things about that is that Toyota and Honda did a lot of research and found out that they didn't think that consumers wanted to plug in. In fact, that was one of their big deals when they introduced hybrids, was you don't have to plug it in. But of course, a lot of us do want to, and I can't wait to have a plug-in Prius. So, and a lot of folks are just saying, to hell with the warranty, I'm going to go get myself a kit and plug in anyway, and spend many thousands of dollars to try to trick the computer system into accepting it. So, you know, God bless the early adopters, but I'm going to wait for a original equipment manufacturer to go ahead and manufacture them, because I truly believe that there's a market out there for plug-in hybrids. Plug-in hybrid school buses, what a great application. Of course, we all want our children to breathe clean air when they're heading to school, as well as those who work in an educational environment. So the great thing about that is that this particular school bus, which is just a prototype, can attain up to 40% better fuel economy. And this one uses then a nickel metal hydride battery pack. This is the very first one, and this was just introduced then last year. Some non-fiscal incentives too for hybrids. It's a little food for thought here. This would be not just for fleets, but for consumers as well. Free parking in designated areas for high-efficiency hybrids and specified AFVs. Now, unfortunately, some of that won't fly. There's a Milwaukee Green team that came out with some recommendations for the city of Milwaukee. One of the recommendations was free parking for hybrids downtown. What a great idea. But it ran it by the Department of Public Works that came back with a fiscal note saying, well, we're just not sure that even if it's high-efficiency hybrids, if that would work, because it might cost the city too much money. So I don't know. I'm all in favor. How about you guys?
Yeah.
All right. So right now, at least, that is not a reality. But in some cities, such as Salt Lake City, it is a reality, and it has not broken the bank there. So let's hope that City of Milwaukee, City of Madison, and some other cities can see that the light on that. Do you know offhand in Illinois if there's anything like that? Okay. All right. Now, AFVs and hybrid vehicles may use high occupancy HOV lanes. And that's something, though, that our State Department of Transportation would have to allow or mandate, because that would be a neat thing. In California, of course, that has actually increased the value of those vehicles that do qualify that by several thousand dollars. You have to get a special permit then that goes with the vehicle, and that raises the value even more than of your Prius or Civic Hybrid or Insight or whatever. Preferential parking at workplaces, that would be a neat thing too. Does anybody work at a workplace or a company where there is preferential parking for hybrids or alternative fuel vehicles? Now, We Energies downtown, for example, in Milwaukee, does grant that kind of parking, and isn't it actually, from your recollection, Gary, is it free then?
It's free.
Yeah, which is even better.
Yeah.
Free is good. And that's for anybody who drives, was it just compressed natural gas, or was it a hybrid as well?
Okay. For people that had compressed natural gas vehicles.
Okay, right, which made sense given the utilities mandate or mission. And then preferred curbside parking for delivery parking or delivery vehicles and so-called green stripe parking, that would be a neat thing too, because of course delivery vehicles idle a lot. And I should add too very quickly, because my time is running out here, that the Clean Cities program and the Wisconsin Clean Cities, we promote not just alternative fuel and alternative fuel vehicles, but related strategies. That's part of the Clean Cities portfolio, such as idle reduction. That's something that we talked about earlier, and also hybrids and fuel economy. And that's through the concept of something that you're all familiar with, eco-driving. We'll have some handouts on that as well, the Clean Cities table. And in fact, we just won a Department of Natural Resources grant then to work with Milwaukee Area Technical College and HybridFest's own Bradley Fons then to develop an eco-driving program for fleets in southeastern Wisconsin. We are running out of time, at least for the presentation, but I do want to entertain some questions. So my contact information is here, and I want to answer any questions, though, that any of you may have. I hope I've answered some during the talk itself. And I understand that with the exception of Gary, that nobody's actually with a fleet, but it looked like it was interesting to you, and I try to provide interest to regular folks then who don't work for a fleet, unlike your brother. So are there any questions offhand? Yes, sir.
Francis, up there you have the US DOE.
Yes.
Clean Cities over there, and then it looks like you work for We Energies.
No, I don't. I'm actually, I'm housed at We Energies because We Energies, which is the largest utility in the state of Wisconsin, is so kind as to provide office space for me, and I'm the only staffer for the organization. So I don't actually work for the company. We are a freestanding nonprofit organization. The U.S. Clean Cities program is part of the Department of Energy, but we act on our own, and we do receive some funding, very modest funding, $10,000 per year now, from Department of Energy. But then you're wondering, well, where are our other funding sources? We get some grant monies through competitive grants that we have to bid for through either state or federal government or private foundations. And then we also have members, mostly companies that are interested in promoting our mission. And then we also do a number of special events then too, and workshops. And we get some sponsorship funds through that.
And is the organization following some type of scientific research, looking at air quality throughout the cities, looking at figures from the past or projecting into the future?
We actually, the nice thing about being affiliated, sir, with the Clean Cities program is that the U.S. Department of Energy and related entities like the Argonne National Laboratory in Illinois have the state of the art. That's part of what the U.S. Department of Energy, part of its charge. Clean Cities program is but one program within DOE. So Department of Energy then provides us with that kind of baseline of statistics and information then that can inform our day-to-day work. So those are excellent questions and helps to provide folks with a little bit more framework as to how we do our work. And we do put on a variety of workshops. And for example, we just did one in idle reduction with two other Clean Cities coalitions in Illinois. And we'll be putting on a Wisconsin Biodiesel Quality Summit at the Country Springs Hotel in Pewaukee coming up in October. and we'll be involved too an event called Odyssey next year too, with other entities from other Clean Cities coalitions from around the nation. Real quick question.
We really ought to roll.
You can speak to me right afterward, and I thank you all for your interest today. Thank you very much.